Welcome back to Amplify Agile, where we have real-world discussions on all things strategic portfolio management, business agility, and beyond. I'm Brett, your new host. We are kicking off the year with a bit of a refresh. Today, we're focusing on starting the journey that leads organizations to be able to adapt and achieve outcomes more swiftly. Joining me is Ed Spriggs, managing partner of LogApps. Today, we'll be having a discussion on strategy, recognizing the need for change, and practices that help organizations move towards strategic portfolio management and business agility. Hey, Ed, welcome to Amplify Agile. Do you want to just give us a quick overview of your role and how you work with strategy and portfolio in your work today?
Yeah. Hey, thank you, Brett, for having me on. It's great to make our debut on Amplify Agile. So just a little bit about me. I am a managing partner of LogApps. LogApps is a company that has, for the last 15 years, been working with the federal government. Our role really is IT consulting. We've been squarely in that space for all of that time. The types of work that we do is around planning and also around cost control, essentially cost management, cost control. We do things like strategic planning, road mapping, cost estimation. Of course, we do strategic portfolio management. We also do TBM and we do hosting management as well. So I've been very privileged to work with these group of subject matter experts now for actually over 15 years, and it's been a great journey.
Awesome. Cool. Well, then all that expertise is going to really come into play as we start talking about strategy and just starting the journey, right? Especially in the public sector where you live pretty much, right? Cool.
Absolutely.
All right. Yeah, so why don't we start? Yeah. So let's start off by talking about strategy just in general. So a common theme we hear from senior IT and portfolio leaders is that while strategy might be in place at the top, it might be difficult to keep, you know, things aligned across the board. So what challenges are your clients facing when they're developing those organizational strategies?
Well, interesting that you ask a question like that. It's kind of funny. In the federal government space, we find that a lot of organizations either don't have a strategy or they're reluctant to commit to a strategy. Or in the third case, they have a very high level strategy that you really can't pin down to discrete objectives. Now, that makes things a little bit tougher for strategic portfolio management. It makes it a little bit tougher when you're aligning what you're doing with the actual strategies, but that's the type of thing that we find normally. It's part and parcel of the federal government. Some folks are reluctant to pin themselves down because, frankly, it's, it can come back to bite them at some point in time in the future. In other cases, they simply don't have the wherewithal to get everybody together to agree to a particular strategy or a particular objective. So that in and of itself creates a lot of work, right? So just being able to align organizations to get agreement, getting the right people together, those types of things, that takes a tremendous amount of work and many large and even not so large organizations in the federal space.
Makes sense. A lot of competing ideas and responsibilities and accountabilities, right?
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Yeah, so that's what we're seeing on the ground too. And I think, that applies to both the public and the private sector for sure. I've seen that for sure in my work there too. So let's kind of move on to just talking about recognizing that need to change. So I think there comes a point for every leader, they recognize that we have to do something different here. We can't do things the way we've always done them. So I used to work for a major apparel company. And we got in a situation during the pandemic where even though the majority of our business was over 40% of it was wholesale, right? Pandemic kind of shut everything down for a while too. So we had retail stores as well. But what we had to do is we had to do a dramatic shift into increasing our e-com business and you know, shifting our inventory and production around that too, to great success. So you have more insight into the public sector. So there have been dramatic cuts to the workforce. There are a lot of other things that are happening in terms of efficiency. So what's coming up for leaders when they're having this sudden need to create or adjust their strategy?
Well, I'm probably not going to be able to go into as much detail as you went into with the with your background. That's kind of a unique situation, you know, when you have a commercial client like that. But there are some similarities. You know, it's interesting because when an organization is forced to adopt a strategy, right? So some type of externality, some type of external situation comes up, and then they simply have to execute a strategy. That's when you find that there's the most focus. A good example of that is right after 9/11. So right after 9/11, Department of Homeland Security was stood up, and those organizations that were within the Department of Homeland Security all of a sudden had a mandate, right? They had specific strategies or specific objectives that they needed to execute. There was a tremendous amount of focus that they had at that time. And that's really where you get the clearest thinking, in my belief. You get the clearest thinking, you get alignment amongst the organizations, you get leadership involvement. All of those things really help to drive a particular strategy. In many cases, though, you just really don't have that, right? The need for change sometimes isn't seen quite as vividly day to day, right? Now, what we're seeing in today's world with the new administration is, you know, you're seeing reduction in force, which means that you got less people. You're seeing more of a outcome-based drive, right? So organizations really are being graded on the outcomes as opposed to following the process. So in some cases, I think across federal government, you're seeing that strategies really are coming down to a more granular level, things that you can attach objectives to. The change is really slow, unfortunately. There's a lot of legacy behavior that's out there. And really all of that, what that contributes to is a transition, right? So it's a transition from the legacy to more outcome-based things, right? And that's kind of where they stand right now.
Gotcha. So the status quo is not going to fit anymore. We know that. But then there's some adjustments too. So maybe it's not even so much that strategy changes. It's how you go about the execution and arranging the strategy, right? I mean, could be a little bit of both, but it seems that we know that what we've done up until this point doesn't work anymore. And we got to do something new, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's, you know, just to add to what I was saying, you got tighter budgets, right? So tighter budgets, as well as the reduced manpower that you have in the, across the federal government. Those two things are really contributing to kind of a realignment of prioritization, right? And then, you know, we can certainly talk about AI at a later time, but that's kind of seen as a panacea.
For sure. Huge shifts, huge changes. It's always fun, right? Because change is hard. We know that.
Change is hard, and it's not something that's accepted by everybody.
Absolutely. Yep. Been there. And we're agents of change too. So that makes it a little bit more fun. It's in our wheelhouse, right? So let's take a little bit of a shift, since we've talked a little bit about challenges, and we'll talk a little bit more about some specific things there too, but let's focus on some of the positive changes you've observed. You know, for the organizations that have had that aha moment, I've got to change, I got to do something. So I got a couple questions here. We'll start with one. You know, so like, what operating behaviors, like the day-to-day things that are going on, are you noticing that are different and changing, that are contributing to positive change?
Okay. So, you know, just like I said before, folks are trying to do more with less. So, again, you have fewer management, you have fewer federal employees because of the RIFs. You got reduction in budgets. So there's a lot that has to be executed with less resources. That's the first thing that really sets the table for the way that these organizations are doing business. Now, from an operational perspective, I think it's a mind shift. And what we've seen across the federal government is that there's a lot less planning. They've adopted a lot of Agile. They've adopted the parts of Agile that they really like. And part of that is less planning, or less upfront planning, I should say. Mm-hmm. There's a greater focus on schedule. So I think you can probably say that this is the case across 90% of the federal government. They've refocused themselves really away from cost, from figuring out cost and then trying to stick to it, and they've really just doubled down on schedule. So the only thing that they're really focused on is making sure that they can deliver some type of product within a given time frame. If they miss that time frame, then there's problems. Now, if they miss the cost, there isn't as much problem. But that's the major shift from an operational perspective, is that they're really, really focused. They're hyper-focused on schedule at the expense of, in some cases, at the expense of either cost or even performance. We hope that, you know, there isn't too much impact to performance, but I think that there's more appetite for a product that doesn't meet 100% of the requirements than there was in the past.
Yeah, so not letting perfect be the enemy of good, just going with it and making sure that it's meeting the needs and you know, MVPs and such, right?
That's a great way of putting it. Yeah.
All right. So with that, what have you seen that has had real lasting impact too? So a couple of things where organizations have made moves that have really shifted the focus or really made an impact on how things are going downstream, even if they're in their beginning stages.
I think the first real lasting impact has been that focus shift that I just mentioned, shifting from upfront planning to more outcomes. That's the first thing. The second piece of this is really organizations have started to stand up centers of excellence around strategic portfolio management. They've started to stand up centers of excellence around TBM, for example. Those are two big areas of focus right now within the federal government. That is, in my opinion, going to have the greatest lasting impact, is the organizational change. The second piece of it is really cultural. So there's a cultural aspect to this where it's taken some time to actually adopt this cultural mind shift, but folks are really, they've simply moved away from that waterfall method. So going from waterfall to agile to smaller deliveries, smaller products, usable products, pushing away a lot of processes. Those are that aspect of the cultural change is here to stay. And the impact is being seen today, and it's going to be seen for some time to come.
Gotcha. Cool. That's awesome. Well, I'm going to throw in my two cents there. My thought of, because, traditionally it's, called a PMO, right? Like, the project management or the program management office. And I think that sometimes that's associated with rules and regulations. And we're about to talk about governance next, which is the fun part. But, these centers of excellence, these SPM offices too, they're looked at more as like, let's, measure your practice and, get better, help everyone get better at it too. And just that mindset shift of like trying to change to, I think we're shifting from very rigid things to, like you said, more outcome-based, whether they're metrics, objectives, however you measure them too, it's a little bit more, I guess, fluid, and can be defined a little bit better too. So that's what it sounds like the shift is going towards.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Cool. All right. So like I said, we're going to talk about governance now. This is everyone's favorite topic, right? So governance is there. We know it's there to ensure good stewardship, of time, money, resources, all those things. But a lot of times it's often perceived as arbitrary or even restrictive, right? In some cases, a lot of people, like, their eyes glaze over, they get real bored with it, right? So what are some ways that leaders can take to set up governance that creates clarity and flow without bogging or slowing everything down?
Well, okay. The theme that I've been going down has been around adoption of Agile, adoption of strategic portfolio management, those types of things. This is what I'm about to say is really a continuation of that. The federal government has really, they've gone away from the stage gate approach to managing their projects. In many cases, of course, if depending on the acquisition category of the project or the visibility of the project, they're still going to have those stage gates. They're still going to have, the generals or the admirals sitting in and making decisions at critical points within the life cycle. But in many cases, and with most of the investments that are happening, especially in the business area, what you're finding is that those stage gates are coming down, right? So either program managers, project managers are just choosing to not necessarily adhere to the letter of those processes, or they're simply not doing them at all. And I think you mentioned the word guardrail. So guardrails really are the way that they're going today. The federal government is standing up teams in a very smart way of subject matter experts and folks that know Agile, that know the policies of the organization. Those small teams are making sure that there's compliance along the way. They're making sure that there's quality that's embedded. But again, it's a cultural shift. It's a shift not just in process, but in the way that these groups are thinking. So what you end up with is more teamwork, right? So you have these compliance groups that are coming in, but they're not coming in an adversarial manner, like you may have seen in the past. Today, what you're seeing is those compliance organizations are coming in and they're helping. They're helping the project manager, they're helping the program manager to stay compliant with the policies, to make sure that they're following the processes in many cases, and making sure that they have a good quality product. So that type of teamwork is really focused, again, on the outcomes, as opposed to simply making sure that boxes are checked. And I think those things are really good.
That's the bane of my existence too. Anytime I've worked in, like, because I've done a lot of enterprise Agile stuff, right? And within very traditional PMOs, and checking the boxes tends to be the thing, and everyone kind of stays in their lane. They come together and then they disband, right? Whereas here it sounds like it's a little bit more, we're moving towards more cross functionality, a little bit more shared accountability and responsibility. And so, like, those experts in policy and compliance are there to assist, support, guide, and partner, rather than just saying, like, you didn't do this, you didn't do that, right? It's becoming far more independent, Yep.
Absolutely. That's a great way to summarize it.
Cool. Awesome. Okay, so let's talk about the next fun subject too, and this is the big one I think for a lot of portfolios and PMOs is the funding and prioritization of initiatives, projects, and so on and so forth. So, funding and prioritization, much like talking about governance, right? It can be pretty rigid in a lot of organizations for good reason, right? We want to be good stewards of our, especially in the public sector when it's public funds, right? Taxpayer-funded initiatives. So these decisions do have big implications, right? So what are you seeing that's worked well for organizations that they need that long-term financial discipline and accountability? But they also need the flexibility to respond to those immediate needs. So you talked about those shorter cycles, those smaller products, getting those things out the door. What are you kind of seeing in that space?
Well, it's interesting because the federal government has a very rigid budgeting process. I'll just start off by saying that. And it's mandated by Congress, of course. And because of that, you have a lot of funding issues that come up from time to time with everything from government shutdowns to continuing resolutions. But all of that aside, in many cases, you're going to find an organization has to do a lot of upfront planning for out years, as they call it. And that could be 5 years in the case of DOD and the FITA. It could be 2 years in some cases with some civilian organizations. So that type of longer term planning in many cases tends to be linked to larger initiatives. In some cases, it's a program. Now, if it's a program, then they're kind of locked in, and there isn't a whole lot of ability to move money around. There is within certain pockets, but by and large, if a program is funded that way as a line item, then it makes it difficult. But on the other hand, you have other appropriations that are starting to be used that give the federal government a lot more flexibility. So in those areas where they do have the flexibility, they're using it. So they're funding in smaller increments. And they're funding, they're trying to fund in many cases, like I know there's pockets within DOD especially, where they're trying to fund according to the delivery cycles, which probably makes the most sense if you're working in an agile environment.
That's to my ears, funding the actual, sprints, program increments, whatever you call them. That's awesome.
Absolutely. So, what you're seeing is shorter duration funding, more limited in scope, and then you're seeing more frequent funding cycles. So those are all good things because it really allows the program to have flexibility. It allows the program to pivot in many cases. Whereas in the past they couldn't pivot, they were simply locked in, and they had to follow a bad idea all the way to its completion. And now I think there's more of an environment where the government is admitting that you can't plan everything right up front. You have to provide the flexibility, and funding is a critical piece of that. So that's what we're seeing.
I'm glad you brought that up too, because that's like one of my number one things that I like to get out there is like, you can't know everything. You don't know everything. You don't know how it's going to come out too. Now, and we're kind of getting into the realm of like horizon planning. Like, hey, we know that we're going to invest so much money over this course of time for something, but those very detailed specifics, those are the things that need to shift with the market or the demand or what have you, right? So being able to pivot or adjust towards those long-term goals and investments, right? Which are driven by outcomes, right? Rather than hard.
And I'll add to that, there's a greater appetite now for experimentation as well. Mm. Nice. Even in areas that are kind of mundane, like ERP systems, the federal government is really encouraging experimentation. Failure is not a dirty word these days. You can recover from a hypothesis that didn't work out the way that you wanted to. So all of that type of cultural change is really moving the government in the right direction, in my opinion.
Cool. Awesome. Well, this has been awesome too. I learned a lot just on how this is. Again, I'm a private sector person. I don't work a lot in public sector. So to hear this, but it's very exciting to see some of these changes taking place and moving across the government and beyond, I'm sure. So I want to kind of recap on just the clear theme that we're hearing today too. So we know that recognizing that need for change, that's just the starting point, right? That's just the aha moment that we have to really shift and move things around. So that real impact comes from, what our organizations do next, right? We've got to align that strategy with the execution, putting some of those guardrails in place, not hard rules, right? Not necessarily like phase gates, as we were talking about, but more like guidance to allow a little bit more autonomy in the management of that. And so we want to make those really smart, timely funded decisions so that we can support and bring it on home. What? Outcomes, right? That's what we want to get to. Cool.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, that's Brett, thank you. That's a perfect way to summarize it. We've seen a lot. I would just add to what you said by just saying we've seen a lot of change come to the federal government in a very, very short period of time. I think it's been in the last 5 years that we've really seen just a dramatic transformation in the thinking of management and executives in the federal government. This opens up opportunities, obviously. It's opportunities for different services to be offered to the federal government, and it offers opportunity for products to be offered into the federal government. And we see this LawGaps as a consulting firm primarily. We see this as a really great opportunity. There's a need that has really arisen, and the opportunity lies in helping the government to change the management, to change the culture, and to offer tools that can help to automate and facilitate that process.
Well, Ed, I really want to thank you again. I learned a lot here. Very exciting insights here into what's going on in the PubSec space, but also a lot of relevant stories that I'm sure anybody in any sector can relate to. So, just these practical steps that make those shifts real: better strategy, better governance, better prioritization. So I also want to thank everyone here for just staying with us and listening. If you're facing similar change pressures in your own portfolio or delivery organizations, and you want to see more conversations like this, just make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss any of the upcoming episodes that we have. You can also check out more resources at apptio.com. So if there's a topic you'd like us to explore, especially around navigating change and turning strategy into action, just let us know. We always want to bring forward that practical real-world guidance. That's really what we're here for, too. So it's been very exciting today. So thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time on Amplify Agile.
All right. Thank you.